Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away, worlds apart. Go to bostonharborislands.org for more information.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds, I love that show.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to our show, number 513. Hey, we're seeing a lot of American goldfinches in our Talkin' Birds garden here in snow-covered southeastern Massachusetts. And our friend Al Batt is also seeing lots of them up in his backyard in Heartland, Minnesota. And he sent out a description of the wintry scene there, saying, in part, the wind had erased all tracks but its own. The snow had absorbed sound waves and quieted the world. The feeders were filled with American goldfinches. That hadn't always been the case. They are partial migrants. Some stay, some go, but most are nomadic. Winter weather could cause the tiny birds to move in search of food. The good thing is they do come back. I keep the feeders filled so that it would be possible for the goldfinches to go home again. Then Al answered a question from one of his fans who said, the bills of the goldfinches look to me like they are a different color than they are during the summer. Am I crazy? Well, Al declined to speculate on the writer's mental state, but did offer the following. Goldfinches are different from most birds in that they molt twice a year. They have yellow feathers in the breeding season that change to olive brown in the fall after nesting. The colors of their leg, feet, and bills also change with each molt. In winter, legs, feet, and bill are a gray-brown. In breeding plumage, they turn a yellow-orange color. That's from Al Batt. You can follow his musings at albatt.net. That's Batt with two T's. Meanwhile, our friend Laura, who helps keep the feeders filled in our Talkin' Birds garden here, reports that the goldfinches are already beginning to show evidence of the spring molt, starting to show some little patches of bright yellow. By the way, one of our favorite birds to see out in our Talkin' Birds garden is the state bird of South Carolina. There he is now, the Carolina Wren. Well, this bird, as its name would suggest, has historically been a southern bird, but many individuals have fairly recently been spending the winter in areas as far north as Minneapolis, Milwaukee, and Montreal. Our friends at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology tell us that last winter, Carolina wrens were reported at nearly three-quarters of bird feeders here in Massachusetts. That's compared with 58% in 2003-04. It's a similar story up in Michigan, where 26% of feeder watchers reported Carolina wrens last winter. 26%. 10 years ago, that number was 8%. Lots of changes going on out there as our world, despite some unmistakable cold snaps, continues to get warmer. As to how our birds survive the winters, it's worth remembering maybe that birds are warm-blooded, which means that their bodies maintain a constant temperature, usually around 106 degrees Fahrenheit. Of course, they can't turn up the thermostat, so they use other coping techniques. They fluff their feathers to trap warm, insulating air, part of the reason they look so fat in the winter. Of course, many actually add fat as well. They grow additional feathers for warmth, and they shiver to generate heat. They also may flock together to share warmth and tuck their bills and feet into the feathers to minimize heat loss. Some species are able to reduce their nighttime body temperature from the daytime level, something called regulated hypothermia. Many birds seek shelter from the elements in secure roosting locations. And by the way, back to Carolina wrens for a moment. We got a nice observation on our Talking Birds Facebook page from Darlene Kelleher, who's somewhere in Rhode Island, I think. She said, upon returning home on a snowy day, I saw a Carolina wren clearing the snow out of the hole in our fence post, now dislodged from the corresponding fence panel. Any port in a storm? Says Darlene. And Jeanette, not sure where Jeanette is writing in from, but on our Facebook page, she says, the Carolina wrens are taking shelter from the cold and bad weather under my front porch. I see them flying in and out of there. I love them. I think everybody loves Carolina wrens once they start seeing them. And thanks to Stephen Brazier, guessing at the pronunciation, Stephen, of your last name. Hope I'm fairly close. Stephen posted two great photos on our Facebook page. One of a Carolina wren with a bluebird buddy side by side at a feeder. And another great shot showing the dazzling blue of a bluebird's back and wings. Those are beautiful pictures worth checking out. Thank you, Stephen. Well, here's a reminder to all bird watchers, backyard and otherwise, the 18th annual Great Backyard Bird Count is underway. It started on Friday, continues through Monday, the holiday on the 16th. As the Cornell Lab's Pat Leonard, who was here on the show with us a couple of weeks ago, explained, it's pretty easy to take part in this amazing worldwide event. All you have to do is count birds at any location for at least 15 minutes on one or more days of the count, and then enter the sightings at birdcount.org. Pretty simple. The information gathered by thousands of volunteers all over the world helps track changes in bird populations on a massive scale. And you could do it without even leaving your kitchen table. That website, again, is birdcount.org. And then there's this amazing weather-related story about an errant seabird from our friend Peter Trawl down on Cape Cod. That's the bird you're hearing. That's not Peter. Peter says, in part, a thick-billed murre crash-dived into a parking lot in Orleans in the dark rain last night. They have rain down there instead of snow. A seventh grader's parent picked it up, put it into a box, and brought it into class. I'll release it in the bay on my fifth period prep today. In the meantime, this healthy, preening, active alcid is in the 40-gallon aquarium in my classroom, diving for sunfish, swimming underwater, watching the fish swim below it, rearing up and flapping, and giving my students a biology, ornithology, behavioral, natural history lesson that they will never forget. Not to mention, it's a gorgeous bird. The posting from Peter Trawl down there in Brewster on Cape Cod. That is a beautiful bird, a striking black and white seabird, kind of one of those penguins of the north, as they sometimes call them. Good news about the thick-billed murre. It is not a threatened bird. There are estimated to be 22 million of them worldwide, including one in a Cape Cod classroom. Just a reminder that our phone lines are always open here on Talkin' Birds. Got a question, comment, or an observation? 781-837-4900. Hey, guess who is back on Talkin' Birds? We're about to find out as we unroll the world's longest microphone cord and stretch it all the way to Alberta, Canada.
Alberta bound, Alberta bound. It's good to be Alberta bound.
Well, our Charlotte Wasilek is back from her travels and ready to bring us another installment of Charlotte's Web Log. Good morning, Charlotte. What's up?
Good morning, Ray. I'm back from my trip to Europe, and I had a wonderful time. I saw about 70 new species of birds, and some of my favorites were common kingfishers and northern lapwings in France, and common cranes and barnacle geese in Germany. You can read about my trip and see some of my photographs on my blog, prairiebirder.wordpress.com. While Canada has a national tree, horse, and animal, it does not have a national bird. So last month, the Royal Canadian Geographical Society started the National Bird Project, by asking Canadians to vote for their favorite species. So far, the common loon has the most votes. You can learn more about this project by Googling Canada's National Bird. For young birders, the Cornell Lab of Ornithology is hosting their annual Young Birders event, which will be held July 16th to the 19th in Ithaca, New York. The event will include field trips, presentations, a tour of the Cornell Lab, and dinner with staff and directors of the Cornell Lab. The deadline to apply is April 1st. And to find more information on the event by Googling Cornell Lab Young Birders Event 2015. That's all for this week, Ray. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Charlotte. Hey, be sure to follow Charlotte on her blog at prairiebirder.wordpress.com. prairiebirder.wordpress.com. Lots of amazing and beautiful stuff to see there.
Well, here's a heads up for Talking Birds listeners in eastern and central Massachusetts and southern New Hampshire. We'll be doing our show live next Sunday from beautiful Wilson Farm in Lexington, Massachusetts, as we help celebrate the For the Birds weekend, in which the Wilson Farm folks will pair with educators from Mass Audubon's Drumlin Farm, and everybody can learn about hawks and owls and other birds of prey. You can learn about the whole weekend at wilsonfarm.com. That's wilsonfarm.com. And please join us for our live broadcast there next Sunday, February 22nd, if you can, 9:30 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Here's our conservation salute of the week. This week we salute the city of Burlington, Vermont, which has just become the first U.S. city of more than 40,000 residents to run entirely on renewable electric energy, coming from biomass, hydroelectric, solar, and wind. The biomass facility burns wood chips, residue of the region's logging industry, and is equipped with special air quality control devices. So the stack emissions, particulate stack emissions, 1/10 the level allowed by Vermont state regulation. And by the way, in response to the suggestion that renewably generated electricity is an expensive luxury, Ken Nolan of the Burlington Electric Department says the switch to renewables there will likely save the city $20 million over the next decade. Still to come on our show today, a mystery bird that we hope to welcome back from down south very soon here to the frigid Northeast. We'll help a listener win a fabulous feeder from Droll Yankees, makers of the world's best bird feeders. Mike O'Connor from the Bird Watchers General Store on Cape Cod will be here to answer a listener's question in a Let's Ask Mike segment that we call Snow Cones for Your Snowbirds. And up next, since it's in the lead in the voting for a possible designation as the National Bird of Canada, as we learned on our Charlotte's Web blog this morning, we present Gavia Immer as today's featured feathered friend. Hey, it's me over here on the breakwater with my binoculars and scope and tripod. Well, it was me last week, anyway, last Sunday afternoon, checking out the waterfowl in Boston Harbor, which was speckled all over with little pairs and pods of red-breasted mergansers, dozens of them scattered all around the inner harbor. And way out there, all by his lonesome, was today's featured feathered friend, the common loon, sporting its drab gray and white winter plumage here in its quiet winter season. But of course, the common loon at breeding time is anything but drab or quiet. It's wailing and yodeling, heard on lakes and ponds all across Canada and the northern U.S., help establish the loon as a symbol of the wild north, such that even folks who don't show much interest in birds in general are loon lovers nonetheless. The sharply defined black and white breeding plumage with the checkerboard pattern on the back and intense red eyes add to the magic of this magnificent bird, whose relatives include the red-throated, Pacific, Arctic, and yellow-billed loons. The loon propels itself with its feet underwater to catch fish and holds them in its bill with sharp, rearward-slanting projections on the roof of its mouth.
On land, the loon won't win any wind sprints. The placement of its legs way back on its body make it as clumsy on land as it is efficient in the water. When March arrives, so do the breeding colors and haunting calls of the common loon. Today's Talkin' Birds featured Feathered Friend.
Thanks again for being with us here on our show number 513. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Talkin' Birds. And email us anytime you have a thought or suggestion, comment for us. Send it to ray@talkinbirds.com, ray@talkinbirds.com. Up next, it's our mystery bird contest in just 1 minute.
Public ferry service to the Boston Harbor Islands has ended for the season, but you can still visit the beautiful Boston Harbor Islands peninsulas open year-round. World's End in Hingham, Deer Island in Winthrop, Webb Memorial Park in Weymouth, and Nut Island in Quincy. They're connected to the mainland and accessible by car, offering stunning views of Boston Harbor and its islands, plus birding, hiking, biking, and cross-country skiing. Enjoy your national park all year long. For more information, please visit bostonharborislands.org.
Here on Talkin' Birds Now, a message from our friends at Ducks Unlimited.
Since 1937, Ducks Unlimited has been a world leader in wetlands conservation, ensuring safe passage for nature's most beautiful creations, protection against flooding, and sanctuary for the human soul. If we don't want to grow old in a world without wild places, we must speak up. We must step up so that we may fill the skies for generations to come.
Our mystery bird contest every week here on Talkin' Birds works this way. We describe the sound, or we describe the appearance of the bird, play the sound or call of the bird, and invite you to call in and tell us what it is. Tell us if you know, guess if you don't. No correct answer means a drawing will determine our winner from among all guesses received. 781-837-4900 is the number. Talkin' Birds is made possible by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, a world leader in the study, appreciation, and conservation of birds. Please check them out at birds.cornell.edu. Now, you're eligible to win if you haven't been a winner here on Talkin' Birds in the past 6 months. And don't forget, by the way, if you're missing out on our Mystery Bird Contest because you're not hearing our show live, you can hear us live online every week. See TalkinBirds.com for details on how to do it. It's really easy. Well, last week, our mystery bird was the common redpoll, and in case you've been scanning your feeders for them in vain, take heart. eBird data is showing that common redpolls are now reaching the Chicago area in the Midwest and moving down past New Jersey on the Atlantic coast. Many birders are also reporting pine siskins all the way down into Florida and Texas. Just thought we'd throw that in there. But now, on to this week's mystery bird. Here's the sound of our bird. Our mystery bird is a small perching bird of open woodlands, farms, and parks. It breeds over most of North America and winters in much of the southern U.S. and down into Mexico. Our bird has an unstreaked breast, a rufous or rust-colored crown, a white line above the eye, and a black stripe through the eye. That's our mystery bird. Our prize is a beautiful Droll Yankees new generation 15-inch forest green sunflower mixed seed feeder. That's a big, just picture that, 15 inches, a big, beautiful tube feeder. It has the contoured base that keeps seed within reach and is threaded so that you can attach at your option an A6T seed tray or Omni seed tray to catch seed and provide extra room for birds. It's a little option there. So that's our prize and that's our bird. What do you think it is? Give us a call, 781-837-4900. 781-837-4900. Again, take a guess if you're not sure because we'll have a winner in any case. 781-837-4900. Meanwhile, snow cones for your snowbirds. That could be our title for our Let's Ask Mike segment. Let's Ask Mike in just 1 minute.
The Amazon's rainforest is being cut down so fast that by 2030, 55% of it could be completely wiped out. The Earth's forests can't speak up when they need help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org. If we continue to consume our natural resources at the rate we do now, by 2050, it could take three Earths to meet our needs. The Earth can't speak up when it needs help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
I don't recycle. I mean, we can just find another planet for your kids to live on, you know?
Noted non-recycler Tommy Crenshaw talks about the future.
Oh, I can totally see finding another planet that can support life when ours fills up with trash.
Log on to yougottabekidding.org and learn about all the ways you can recycle, unless you're into lame excuses like Tommy's.
Hey, recycling's just not my thing. Starting over on a new planet? Now that's exciting.
Don't be that guy, unless you want people looking at you funny. Log on to yougottabekidding.org.
Okay, question for Mike, and the subject, well, is snow. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning to you, Ray.
This is from Mary Ferrillo out in Concord, where they have snow. You can't relate to this on the Cape, because I know you don't have any snow.
No, never snows on the Cape. You know that. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. She says, we're trying to keep water available for the birds this winter, but sometimes we're not able to keep up with it. We're concerned, though, about the birds getting water. But with the snow cover we have, we're wondering if they can get water by eating the snow, or is it too cold, Mary says.
I tell people to put out those bird baths, either a heated bird bath, yeah, one with a built-in heater, or add a heater to your bird bath. That really, you get a lot of really interesting birds. A few weeks ago, we talked about different seas and different suets. Well, every bird needs to drink, so if you put some water out in the winter, you'll get a lot of birds. Seems like every Christmas, people bring in a bird bath just stuffed with bluebirds. Mm-hmm. And some great pictures of the heated bird bath. So that's a good option. If you don't want to be bothered with that, then you can, you know, do what it sounds like you're already doing. You're just refreshing it all the time. Then it freezes up and you refresh it again. That's fine. The birds do eat the snow. Like, they survived millions of years before we started putting out heated bird baths for them. So that's no big deal. So they'll eat the snow. The downside of that is that they eat the snow, and it drops their body temperature a little bit, just like if you would, you know, on a cold day, if you had like a snow cone or something like that, it chills you a little bit. So it's not the best for them, but they've survived by doing it. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you. But if you put out a heated bird bath, you'll get some. You probably get more birds on that than you will even on a feeder in the winter.
Yeah, and if they're eating snow, they might be doing it wherever, and you won't be able to see them, so you won't be able to watch
them. Isn't that a good point? Yeah, that's right.
So there you go, Mary. You can do that, or just move to the Cape and. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, Ray. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Send your question in to Mike. It's pretty easy to do. Just email it in. Mike will answer your question as only he can, and we'll say thank you by sending you a signed copy of Mike's newest book, Why Do Bluebirds Hate Me? It includes all kinds of great answers in Mike's inimitable style to your bird feeding and attracting questions. Send your question to ray@talkingbirds.com, ray@talkingbirds.com, no G in talking. Back here at the Mystery Bird Contest, here's the bird we're trying to identify. It's a small perching bird of open woodlands, farms, and parks. It breeds over most of North America and winters in much of the southern U.S., and down into Mexico. Our bird has an unstreaked breast, a rufous or rust-colored crown, a white line above the eye, and a black stripe through the eye. What would that be? That's our mystery bird, 781-837-4900. Our prize is that big, beautiful Droll Yankees new generation 15-inch forest green sunflower or mixed seed feeder. 781-837-4900 is the number. And Wayne is in nearby Duxbury, Massachusetts, this morning. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning.
How are things in Duxbury? I guess I already know because you're just down the road from here.
Well, it's moderate snow right now, for sure.
Moderate snow. Okay. I bet early in the season you would have called this heavy snow, but
yes.
Now we're used to all this kind of stuff. Let's see. What do you think, Wayne, on our mystery bird?
Well, I'm looking outside at our feeder right now, and I see we have several pair of Carolina wrens. And
nice.
I think you mentioned a rufous top, and that's not, you know, I was going to say a Carolina Wren, but...
Yeah, we talked about Carolina Wrens earlier because we've had a couple of them out in our Talking Birds garden here. Nice to hear that you've got them there, too. They are just amazing birds to see, but guess what?
What?
Not our mystery bird.
No, I didn't think so. It wouldn't be a kinglet, would it? I mean, there are several.
It actually wouldn't, no.
Okay.
But you're breaking our one guess rule, Wayne.
So. I know. All right.
Thank you, Wayne. Try us again.
Bye.
All right. Wayne in Duxbury with a couple of guesses there. I think we're going to Laura, perhaps, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Good morning, Charlotte.
Hello.
How are you?
We're fine. This is our first time listening to your show.
Well, thank you. How do you like it so far?
It's wonderful.
I didn't mean to fish for compliments there, but thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
We'll spread the news on our local bird website, so everybody in Charlotte can be listening to you on Sundays.
Wonderful. What's your local site there?
We have the Mecklenburg Audubon Society.
Mm-hmm. A lot of members?
Very many members.
Yeah.
We are told we are the most active Audubon group in North Carolina.
Excellent. Nice. All right. You probably heard us talking about the Carolina Wren earlier, which is the state bird of South Carolina, I believe.
Yes, I believe so.
What's your state bird, do you know?
I think they pick something very common, but it's not the Carolina Wren.
Probably Northern Cardinal. Everybody picks that.
Yes, which we're all kind of peeved about.
Yeah, you got to change
but
that.
But the symbol of our group is a Carolina Wren, so that's good.
Yeah. Okay, all right. You're covered then. Okay, so Laura, what do you think about our mystery bird?
We believe it's a chipping sparrow.
I believe
it is,
too.
We're looking out some outside our window right now.
Oh, nice. Well, that clinches it, then. Chipping sparrow.
We're not hearing them because it's a little cold this morning, but we are seeing them at our feeder in the front yard.
Nice. Well, you don't need us to describe it. You can describe it yourself.
Yes.
Right up close.
They're very cute little sparrows.
Yeah, they really are, and that call, that song is a pretty interesting one, too. Well, absolutely right, and we have for you the beautiful Droll Yankees New Generation 15-inch Forest Green Sunflower Seed Feeder. And,
wow!
We will send that out to you. Hey, we have a bonus question here. Would you like to try it?
Oh, sure, why not?
Yeah, this is just, we'll send you an item from our Talking Birds prize closet. Yet to be determined if that's all right.
Okay.
All right, ready? If you went into your backyard and saw a Red Cross bill, you'd be looking at...
I'd fall over dead, for one thing.
Okay, well, I guess we needn't continue then. but anyway, let's say you somehow revived. You'd be looking at A, a wintering finch, B, a warbler that has stayed through the winter, or C, an invoice from a large charitable organization.
It is a beautiful winter finch, but I would love to see one down here. I think they make it down to the North Carolina mountains, but I haven't seen one yet.
Not quite to where you are. Well, be sure to report to us if you do, all right?
Yes, indeed.
All right, Laura, thank you so much. Stay on the line, and we will send that feeder out to you and a bonus prize.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks again. All right, Laura down there in Charlotte, North Carolina, a beautiful city. I haven't visited there in quite a long time, but it is a beautiful place, and a great Audubon group, obviously, down there as well. We are just about almost out of time for our show today. Just a special reminder that we'll help celebrate Wilson Farms for the Birds Weekend when we broadcast Talking Birds live from beautiful Wilson Farm in Lexington, Mass. That's next Sunday, February 22nd. And March 22nd, we'll be at the Canopy Tower in Panama. We'll have more to say about that soon. And May 24th at the L.L. Bean flagship store in Freeport, Maine. The executive producer of Talking Birds, Mark Duffield, our engineer, Jesse Wilkins. I'm Ray Brown. See you next week.
The Bird Show. I like that. I love it.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance. Minutes away, worlds apart. Go to bostonharborislands.org for more information.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds, I love that show. Tweet, tweet, tweet.